is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Friday. You've almost made it. Congratulations. Let's have fun. Welcome in. Jay, thumbs up or thumbs down? Our apologies to those of you trying to watch on YouTube. Last time I checked, we're up to seven now. Seven restarts of the computer that we were told is fine last week when we complained about it. Seven restarts of the computer that runs our YouTube. All right. So we're doing what we can. A chef is only as good as the ingredients the chef is working with. Now, granted, occasionally we'll cook something that ain't right. No doubt about it, but talking about a computer here. Good morning, Ben. On the you can text us, 916-339-1140, as Ben does each and every morning. Good morning. Have a great Friday show, guys. By the way, I bet Chris is in the YouTube chat is the kind of guy that leaves his fingerprints all over the DVDs he rents. Yeah, that's 100% correct. Now, we can't verify that with Chris because Chris is one of our YouTube folks who are currently right now. And I love this. I mean, I don't love that they're having to do this, but it just goes to show how much they care about the show and tuning in. They're frantically refreshing probably because, listen, people are habitual. We have created a place, and this was a big pet project of mine for years in pushing this. We've created a place for people to gather and watch / listen to the program as they get up in the morning. And kids are getting up and school and jobs and breakfast and all that stuff. And we appreciate the people listening like you on the app or on the radio right now, but we also appreciate those watching, and then they chat with each other, and that's kind of the idea as we move into, excuse me, the next phase of broadcasting, which is here. People need to have things to do.
Hi.
Hi, Jay.
How you doing?
And
we're on the tubes.
Are we on the tubes?
We're on the tubes.
Well done. Well done, Jay. So that's a 7 or 8 restarts.
7 restarts later, we have made it to the tubes.
Now, to be clear, that does not mean we will stay on the tubes, correct?
Does not mean that at all.
Wow, it looks like there's two different... Oh, no, they're listing it differently. It looked like there was two different...
That's probably happening at this point, too. I mean...
Yeah.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yes.
Love all of you for tuning in. You're all amazing humans and just humaning along on a Friday as you are, deciding to turn on Ye Olde Radio or app or desktop or YouTube. Again, all those work as well. And just want to spend your morning with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, and I got the first chat in today.
Look at you. I feel like you kind of cheated.
Of course, Jay and his entire...
Rudy, the YouTube's up. He's on the text line. Sorry. Yeah.
You were able to lean on your entire team of people back there to help.
And I thank God that, you know, our company has provided me with so much support staff because I need it. This is a big operation we got going on in the morning. So shout out to all of you. I those in the back, I'm going to put, should I give them a chance to, you know, say a few words? We don't ever acknowledge them.
Yeah. Say, yes.
All right. Let me get out of the way. For those of you in the back, go ahead. Floor is yours. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, guys.
Guys!
Is the mic on?
It's on. You can hear me. I think they're just shy this morning. That's all.
They?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, might as well do a podcast.
Chris, I'm reading it now. That's well done, Ben.
Might as well just do a podcast.
Go do a podcast?
Let's do a podcast.
What do you want to talk about? That's what's cool about podcasting. It's such a male-dominated field because, you know, we all think we're so smart.
Uh-huh.
And no man ever has had this, like, epiphany or idea and, like, I should do a podcast. That never happens.
It's not a crowded space at all, is it?
No, you know, you know, I watched 5 minutes on the Afghanistan coverage. I should do a podcast about it.
Yeah, why not?
I've got 5 minutes of knowledge that I would like to share with millions of people who will definitely just search me out on Apple.
Well, you know what? I think a great podcast would be all about roles that were turned down by actors.
Oh, you're on this, aren't you, after Tin Cup yesterday?
I'm on it after Tin Cup, and then I stumbled upon this, Jay.
Let's hear it.
All right, this is one of them stories.
Will Smith.
I'm not proud of, but it's the truth. I did turn down Neo in The Matrix. Hold up. Y'all jumping to conclusions.
That was a crazy time in my life. It was like, however I threw the ball, it was going in. I had done Independence Day the year before. So I was like, I'm not doing another alien movie. I don't want to be the alien movie guy. So I turned down Men in Black. And Steven Spielberg called me. He was producing. He said, why are you turning down the movie? I was like, you know, I just don't want to be the alien guy. He said, do me a favor. Don't use your brain for this one. Use my brain. He was so serious that I was like, all right. He did do Jaws. You just get in that universal energy and nothing can go wrong. Then the other side comes and then you can't do nothing right. So after we made Men in Black, the Wachowskis, they came in and it was like they had only done one movie. They did a movie, I think it was called Bound. And they came in and they made a pitch for The Matrix.
And as it turns out, they're geniuses. But there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
So this is the actual pitch that they made for The Matrix.
So dude, we're thinking like imagine you're in a fight and then you like jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump.
Sam, say that again.
But then people could see around you 360 while you're jumping, while you're stop jumping, right? And then we're gonna invent these cameras, and then people can see the whole jump while you stop in the middle of the jump.
So I made Wild Wild West. I'm not proud of it.
Like, you know, you see people, that Monday I was walking around, hey guys, sorry. Hey, listen, I'm working on Bad Boys 2. Don't worry about it, sorry.
But it ain't like it would have been that, like Keanu was perfect. Lawrence Fishburne was perfect. If I had done it, because I'm black, then Morpheus wouldn't have been black. Because they were looking at Val Kilmer. So I was gonna be Neo and Val Kilmer was gonna be Morpheus. So I probably would have messed the Matrix up. I would have ruined it. So I did y'all a favor.
Oh, man.
That's interesting. I knew the Will Smith thing. I didn't know the Val Kilmer thing.
I actually think Val Kilmer and Will Smith as Neo and Morpheus would have been amazing. Kilmer would have been an amazing Morpheus.
Yes, he would have. Yes, he would. By the way, interesting that, you know, and Will's right. Back then, what, you couldn't have a black Morpheus and a black Neo?
Right.
No.
Two black people? Oh, yeah. My God. No. What will society think?
You're right. Val Kilmer. And really.
He'd have Kilmered it.
Yep.
I'm there. Yep. It's Friday.
Val Kilmer would. By the way, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne was an amazing Morpheus. Sure. That I just find that incredibly interesting that a lot of times you look at roles that we talked about, like John Travolta was considered for Forrest Gump, you know, a lot of different things. You go, I could not imagine this role being played by anybody else. I can actually imagine a world where The Matrix starred Will Smith as Neo,
mm-hmm.
and Val Kilmer as Morpheus.
Yeah, and I think it would have been just as successful. I really do.
Honest to God, I actually think it would have been more successful.
I think you're onto something
because
there.
It's Will Smith and Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
No offense, but it's...
In 2000, Will Smith, right. Val Kilmer is still Val Kilmer right. At that point.
Keanu Reeves is one of the coolest guys on the planet, but Keanu Reeves has also been one of those guys who he's so cool and so... Like, let's put it this way. Keanu Reeves ain't doing Castaway anytime soon and pulling it off.
Right. What was Keanu coming off of at that time? Johnny Mnemonic?
Probably.
Okay, and then Will Smith was coming off of Independence Day, which was, as we know, just a monster film.
Absolute monster. Turned him into a superstar.
Val Kilmer would...
Was that The Doors?
He had done The Doors, but I think he had done The Saint was probably the last. Wasn't that with Elizabeth Shue?
Yes, The Saint was with Elizabeth Shue.
Great movie, by the way.
Anyway, there you go. That's our
new podcast. Val Kilmer talk. Really happy.
Nothing wrong. Have you seen the new doc on him? I have
not. With the voice stuff. I haven't seen the doc. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I saw the trailer too. I need to watch it, but I also feel like I'm going to be sad.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, he's going to be in the Top Gun movie that's, I think, comes out this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Val's had some health issues, man. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that whole thing plays out.
We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
I don't know what's coming up next because Jay was in the back just eating and goofing off, and so I don't have the sheet in front of me.
And possibly Roundhouse kicking computers.
Roadhouse. All right, we're going to talk baseball. Bay Bridge Series today. The A's escape Chicago, thank goodness, and so much more. It's Friday. Let's all have fun. Sports 1140.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com.
Here's cut number one.
And here it is. It's swung on and driven to left center. Marte's there, and he makes a running catch, and the game is over. Man, it wasn't going to be easy to get to the finish line today.
Ken, it was not.
No. The great Ken Korak is heard right here on KHDK. The A's, by the slimmest of margins, they rally. Matt Olson, a go-ahead two-run shot. Matt Chapman adds a solo shot, 5-4. They lose 3 of 4 of the White Sox. They lose Chris Bassitt in the worst possible way. It was just good to escape Chicago with a win to get off that schneid. You hope that it at least mentally helped them just kind of leave Chicago behind. And, you know, hopefully by Monday, they'll be back to their winning ways.
Yeah, you heard guys in the post-game presser talking about it. They had a, you know, FaceTime with Chris Bassitt, and I guess that brought a lot of joy to the clubhouse to see that he was up and doing well. And, you know, it showed on the field yesterday, and that game could have got out of hand really quick.
Yes.
The White Sox went up 1-0 in the first. I want to say they had, like, bases loaded with one out at one point. It was looking like, oh, the White Sox are going to blow this game open quick, fast, and in a hurry. But good on Cole Irvin, man. Good on Cole Irvin. He got out of that first inning jam, and the A's bats carried him from there.
Yep, he settled down quite a bit. And as we mentioned, Matt Olson, a two-run shot in the seventh inning. John Murphy in the third inning. That's what got him on the board. Sixth inning solo shot for Matt Chapman.
Dude, Chapman with the hot bat recently.
You know, and they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Shockingly, the Astros also won. They break their own losing streak that matched the A's. So they're just mirroring each other right now. A's remain 2.5 behind the Astros. And by the way, Mariners won 8-10.
Yeah.
They're just 3 back of the A's. Looked like the A's kind of put them away.
Well, the Mariners, it looked like they had put themselves away at the trade deadline when, you know, you have a team for the first time competing in, it seems like, 15 years. And I don't know, we'll just deal our closer away for no real reason.
Why not?
Hey, shout out to that clubhouse for being resilient after that.
Leading off number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
0-1 pitch. Longoria drives one. Deep left field. This one is gone.
Well, the Giants did not play yesterday. They were resting up. Kind of sucks.
I mean, I know.
The A's are hosting the Giants, but let's be honest, it's a home game for both as far as travel goes, except the A's had to travel back from Chicago. Good thing baseball at least gave them a day game, but still, you're coming back from Chicago. It's not the craziest trip in the world, but now you turn around and you start a huge series. Two of the best teams in baseball right now. Alex Wood, James Caprillion going at it, and that is a 6:40 first pitch right here.
Coverage begins at 6.
Right here on the Sporte 1140.
All three games this week on Sports 1140. Which weekend, I should say.
Which is fantastic. The Bay, not only is it the Bay Bridge series, it's the Bay Bridge series that's really, really, really between two good teams.
Yeah, it's between two good teams, and from a storyline standpoint, you have the Giants trying to maintain in the NL West with the Dodgers right there on their heels, and then you have the A's who are just trying to maintain.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this later. You know, I'm interested to see your thoughts on who this series means more for.
Yeah, okay, I have thoughts on that.
And I have a rule, no fence sitting.
No, no, I got you. I have an answer, too. By the way, I am wearing, for those of you not on YouTube, my throwback Will Clark Battle of the Bay.
Chris Guerrero actually said something accurate, so mark this day down in history.
Okay.
You look like a mid-relief pitcher for the Giants.
Speaking of relief pitchers, not for the Giants, for the A's, our old friend Andrew Chafin. He posted on Twitter yesterday, yeah, my tooth fell out during the game. Which,
that's just very on brand.
Isn't it kind of? And he probably just drilled it a couple times, sanded it, and put it right, but just glued it back in.
He probably took the old, do you remember that Brian Wilson story one time when he was on Rome and he had like the cracked rib or something? He's like, yeah, I just went and fired a Red Bull and I was good. go to the fired the Red Bull.
That's exactly right. Our guy, just teeth falling out. Who cares? Just strike people out.
Just get me a little gum, put it where the tooth was.
6 p.m. following Jason, and today's Katie Day, correct?
Katie Day. Katie Hunter on with Jason from 3 to 6 today. Yesterday, Michelle Dapper.
Yes.
And Ladies Week on the afternoon show.
Daps did a great job. I tuned in.
It was a fun listen.
Yeah, it was a fun listen. All right, number 3.
Leading off. Cut number 3.
Lance under the gun this time. Fake the handoff and roll to the left. Sets his feet, fires downfield, and it's caught at the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, and Trent Shearfield has a touchdown.
Hey.
Still the best play of the preseason, if you ask me. And that was after a lot of good passes in the Patriots game last night.
Kyle Shanahan, including a dropped one we'll get to later. Kyle Shanahan said that he'd like to see Trey Lance start getting some first-team reps.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh, are you buying into that?
Uh-oh.
Are you buying into the uh-oh?
Uh-oh. No, you need to do that. If you're planning on having Trey Lance in certain packages this year, you need to give him some reps with the first team. Also, a boost of confidence as well for him.
Oh, 100% a boost of confidence. And like you said, he needs first team reps if he's going to play at all in any sort of these packages. But I don't think it spells any sort of impending doom for Jimmy Garoppolo as far as being the starter goes.
Niners down in Inglewood at SoFi Stadium, taking on the Chargers.
Niners in front of nine people, I believe, is going to be the attendance today.
5.5-point favorites are the Niners. And I told you yesterday about the fun thing about taking the under in these preseason games. Vegas has caught on. The over-under in this game is 34.
Aww.
Yeah. Boo.
What was it in the Pats-Eagles game last night?
That I don't know.
The Eagles were trying to keep it at the under.
Well, let's put it this way. The Patriots alone had 35.
By the way, and I'm sure we'll talk about this next segment, I had no idea Joe Flacco was playing in Philly.
No?
No. I had forgive me, but I had not had my Joe Flacco alert set on Twitter to get notifications.
Yeah, old Joe Flacco.
He Flacco'd.
And Nick Mullins playing there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big pick, Nick.
Also threw a pick.
No.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins threw an interception.
Yeah.
I, for one, am shocked.
We did get to see Mac Jones and Cam Newton.
Mac Jones.
Both did quite well. Mac Jones got screwed. Mac Jones had the best throw of the game, and the guy dropped it and hurt his shoulder. So, he literally had.
I'm not laughing at that.
He had the best throw of the game.
Yeah.
I think it was it N'Keal Harry, I think, that dropped it. Yeah, it was a perfect throw. It was a big league throw. All right.
Chris now says, you look like the big unit got a haircut.
Well, Chris is stupid. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
I have no defense of that one.
Got him. Just got him. All right, A's beat the White Sox. We'll give you a couple highlights on that. We'll give you an update. Again, we tread lightly with this story. We're just going to give you, as we have before, the facts and not analysis or opinion, because it's not our place to do it. But we do have Trevor Bauer court case updates. We'll tell you about that right after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
We need to talk about baseball here. But there's just no way I'm forgetting about this. Jay says to me during the break, remind me to tell you how my son got in trouble at school yesterday. This is Jay's son Isaiah's first year in full-time school here.
Yeah, he's had now 6 days of school under his belt. And on day number six, my son finally decided to show his true colors.
Didn't we kind of have the over-under, though, at 2.5?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he
beats the over.
What do you do?
So, I don't know what frustrated him, because getting a straight answer out of a five-year-old can be difficult, as you know. But at some point in the end of class, I don't know, I think it must have been the classmate or something frustrated him. So yeah. You know what he did?
Huh.
His mom packed him an extra change of underwear just in case of any accidents happened. He goes outside to his backpack, goes and gets the underpants, and starts whipping a kid with them. So all I could think about was, like, some little kid went home to their mom and dad today who are probably so happy to see them and ask them how their day went. Like, I got hit with underwear.
He got slapped around with undies.
Yes.
Wow. So, to be clear, by the letter of the law, your son assaulted another child in school yesterday.
With underwear.
Well, I guess the bright side there, Jay, is that they were clean.
Yes, they were clean underwear, though, so that is good.
It is.
If he would have, like, taken off his underwear and done that, that would have been really bad.
Also, if they were soiled, that would be a whole new world.
Awful, awful.
Because now you're spreading COVID. And,
I know.
You know.
And I'm like, now I got to discipline you so he doesn't get to spend the night with his grandpa and grandma tonight.
Is that discipline?
Oh, that's discipline. Right. Grandpa and grandma's house is Winter Wonderland.
Okay.
You want to talk about spoiled? They had filet mignon ready for him tonight. See what I'm saying?
What? Is there any chance, have you explored the idea at all, that your son has been spending a little time with Chris in the YouTube chat? Because that's exactly what I feel like he would do to people.
Yes, and that's probably what he's taught, like, his children. Like, hey, someone messes you, take them underwears off and
smack them around. Well, you know, it's the old adage says, if you slap people with your underwear, you're not getting filet mignon.
Ayo.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Ayo, A's won yesterday.
Yo.
Well, transition. This helped.
It's a high fly ball to left. Jimenez back. He'll turn and watch it fly. And Chapman has tied it up with one swing in the sixth inning.
Yeah, that tied everything up at 3-3. Then Matt Olson came up in the seventh.
Breaking ball again, and that is hammered deep down the line and right. Stay fair and get out. And it does. Matt Olson unloads on a hanging breaking ball.
Uh-huh. Final call.
And here it is. It's swung on and driven to left center. Marte's there, and he makes a running catch, and the game is over. Man, it wasn't going to be easy to get to the finish line today.
Yeah, you heard that right there, Ken Korak and friends, right here in KHDK. The A's win. Unfortunately, the Astros win as well. The Mariners won as well. So at least the A's can keep pace with everyone before they come home and take on the Gigantics today.
Yeah, and, you know, I felt bad for Ken on that first home run call. Like, we need to get my guy back on the road, you know, because for them it's very difficult to try to call a home run while watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And he has one of the most amazing home run calls on radio.
Sure.
And it, unfortunately, because he's trying to guess, he's not, you know, it's like, all right, is this one going to get out? I guess he'll turn in. Watch it fly.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, when he naturally gets into it, when he knows it's gone, it is one of the better home run calls in broadcasting, if you ask me.
No, 1,000,000,000%. We do need to get them out on the road. How you don't have them travel and then go into the press box where there's nobody there, it's a little bit silly. Trevor Bauer was in the news. He's been in the news. The court case concluded, at least the court case in regards to the restraining order, the temporary restraining order on Trevor Bauer. The victim, or alleged victim, I should say, requested a permanent restraining order, and Judge Diana Gould Saltman ruled against that, dissolved the restraining order. She determined that Bauer did not pose a threat to the woman who accused him of sexual assault over the course of two encounters, and that her injuries were not the result of anything she verbally objected to before or during the encounter. The Pasadena Police Department has been investigating the allegations for more than 3 months. They have yet to make any charges or arrests. Baseball has been conducting its investigation for about 7 weeks. This is such a layered issue. First and foremost, forget baseball. You worry about the criminality of this and mm-hmm. the alleged victim. But that was a big court win for Trevor Bauer and his camp. What I'm wondering is this. If no charges are ever filed, if there is no recourse or anything proven against Trevor Bauer, now we've seen this before, you don't necessarily have to be convicted of something for leagues and or teams to take action.
As we've seen for Trevor Bauer this whole season. I mean, he hasn't played in how many months now? I think two?
He's been on extended leave since July 2nd.
Okay.
He is the highest paid player in baseball this season, and he has been getting all of the money he was signed up for. But it once and if this concludes and there are no convictions, there are no charges, and Trevor Bauer, if not cleared, I don't think you can clear him, but you simply can get to the point where he wasn't charged, and I think there's a difference there. I'm going to be very curious to see how the league and how the Dodgers handle this.
Well, and he has such a unique contract because he has a three-year deal, but years two and three are player options. For lots of money.
And there's no way he's opting out at least of year
two. That's a $30-plus million he'd be opting out of, and you know he would, there's not a chance in hell he gets that on the open market.
From what you gather through reports, the Dodgers and the players on the Dodgers are just fine with him not coming back.
Yeah, they don't want him back. The majority of the clubhouse, that's been reported now for the last few weeks. They're good if he never steps foot in Dodger Stadium again as a LA Dodger.
So then the question is, do the Dodgers force him back into the clubhouse where there's going to be obvious issues? Or do they simply release him and eat the money? If they do release him and eat the money, now all of a sudden you have a situation where you've got a guy saying to the union, hold on a second. I've been convicted of nothing. I've been convicted of nothing illegal. I still claim I did nothing wrong. And the courts, at least, are upholding that you can't. So what am I innocent until proven guilty? What am I doing here?
Well, he has no recourse if they decide to release him. You can release a player at any point for anything. Because at the end of as long as he's getting his money, he has no. Now, if they were to try to release him and not pay him, then yes, he has a gripe to go to the union with. But I think the latter scenario that you brought up there of them basically releasing him and eating the money, and boy, is that a lot of money.
That's a ton of money.
But also, if there is an ownership group and team that can eat the money, it is the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's not like you're asking the Oakland A's to eat $30 million. But I think that's what it is. I think Andrew Friedman has had very little blemishes on his record as the VP of baseball for the Dodgers. This is going to be a blemish, though, and this one is going to be a very expensive one.
It's a blemish, but can you blame Friedman?
A little bit. I mean, Bauer had a sketchy past to begin with. Bauer has not exactly been a clubhouse guy before any of these allegations came out.
Right.
And something tells me, you look into a lot of previous stuff with him and the Dodgers still, rolled the dice because they're like, hey, this dude literally won the Cy Young last year. We know we're going to need some reinforcements if we want to go back to back.
Right.
And they rolled the dice that it would make the character issues would be, put aside, bring him into our organization, put him here. He'll be fine.
Right.
It was a blunder. You have to call it what it is.
And then which team goes out and signs him?
That's the next thing.
And what are they dealing with?
And that might be the gripe. You talked about him going to the union. Hey, man, I was, not charged, so to speak, right?
Yeah, he'd go saying he got blackballed.
Well, he would be blackballed, right? If nobody picks him up, you're essentially blackballing
because
him from the
game. Because he's a Cy Young candidate every year. He's obviously being blackballed. If he's being blackballed for something he didn't do, I mean, when was the last time we heard of a player being blackballed who was still capable of playing in a league?
Huh. I can only think of a few.
I can't. Nothing comes to mind. One of the worst parts about this whole deal, obviously the worst part would be if a crime was committed or an assault was committed. I found myself thinking this. I hope this is the right way to think. I hope there was no crime committed.
You never want the crime to happen.
I hope she's lying. I hope so in the sense that I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
And by the way, we're not saying she is.
Of course this not. But you hope that an assault didn't happen. I think that's always the way you should
hope. I think universally you should never hope for assault.
Yeah, especially, and no one here is a fan of Trevor Bauer, including the Dodger fan from me. The most unfortunate, I can already see where this is going. There were text messages where she was talking about getting paid.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, incriminating or at least credibility questioning text messages. The problem there, because this is sports and because of the environment we're in sports, our top text right now from the 530, women make stuff up all the time. It's all a money grab.
And men do really stupid things all the time, right, too, and try to cover it up.
That person, of course, pulled everything, has checked the stats out. The statistics on how often things.
Did you know that's actually the DA from L.A. that just texted in right now in this case?
Yeah. Anyways, that's just an ugly, ugly, ugly situation. And
I don't think it's getting prettier anytime soon. I'll just leave it at that.
No, it's not. And anyways, like we said, we will continue to report the news. We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we got ourselves a practice brawl.
Woo!
Hey!
Punches and bunches!
It involved the Raiders.
No.
Yeah. Raiders and the Niners opponent this weekend, the Chargers.
Raiders just softening them up for the Niners. That's good looking out, guys.
Also, we had preseason football yesterday. We'll talk about all that next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Welcome back. Preseason football in full swing. A full slate.
Full swing, he says.
This weekend, there's tempers flying everywhere, including the Raiders and Rams. I said the Chargers because I saw L.A.
Oh, Chargers, Rams.
Yeah, who cares?
One plays in front of 20,000 at SoFi. The other plays in front of 20. That's only real difference. Same color scheme.
A brawl that included punches and thrown helmets and had four starts and stops prompted John Gruden to send his players to the buses and end day two of a chippy joint practice session. On Wednesday, the day prior, several skirmishes marred the opening practice. John Gruden said, quote, "That's enough of that crap. It's not good for football. It's not good for anything. That's the end of that practice session." Here we go.
No, they know. They know better. Everybody knows better. And again, it wasn't everybody fighting. It'll be on TV. You'll see a bunch of guys screaming and yelling. But it was two guys in a special teams period. And then it was a lot of trash talking. It escalated. It's just sickening, really. It's just stupidity. But I'm done with that. It's just child's play to me.
Well,
harsh words.
Take a bunch of guys that are fighting for a job, literally. Put them in hot weather and in full pads and have them bounce off of each other for a few hours. You're probably, definitely going to have this happen.
Yeah, and notice, like he said, it happened with special teams.
Right.
And you brought up, guys fighting for jobs. That's where guys kind of at the end of the roster are going to find themselves, on special teams.
Right.
It's not like you had, Stafford and Carr in a wrestling match. Which, by the way, would be great theater. It's just, I always wonder, though, after, Gruden gets the guys on the bus, like, does he give Sean McVay a phone call later on in the evening, like, hey, man?
Well, I don't know.
How does that work?
I don't know that. I think Sean and John, both who have a relationship, both understand that. And they both agreed on it. McVay went on to say, we only had a little bit left, just felt like it was the best decision based on the temperature of the situation. Aaron Donald said, honestly, every joint practice I've ever been a part of, there was a fight. how things happened yesterday, how physical it was. I was pretty sure it was going to come back and be a lot of BS. Here's the fun one. Derek Carr weighed in.
I just want everyone to be happy.
He goes, well, there's a reason for a lot of the fights. It came on special teams. They're fighting for a job, literally. I love the fighting. I think it's good for your team to fight a little bit. Everyone's tired at this point in camp. Doesn't bother me as long as no one gets hurt.
By the way, I just want to point out, I'm a super smart NFL guy because I had not read or heard Derek Carr's quote prior to making my own assumption about special teams and all that. So I'm super smart.
Jalen Ramsey was upsetting people. Apparently, he pushed Josh Jacobs out of bounds hard. Later, hit him hard enough to pop off his helmet. Later, Raider receiver Hunter Renfrow twice beat Ramsey on highlight reel catches, and there was a lot of trash talking from the sideline.
Yeah.
Thursday, Ramsey barked at Renfrow during drills. Carr yelled and pointed at Ramsey during seven-on-sevens before completing a pass right in front of him for a first down and yelling at him, quote, "There's another one."
Oh, I was hoping he was going to, well, yay, let's go to church.
He says, I mean, don't you guys expect Derek Carr to say, hey, good try, you'll get him next time.
Yeah, good one, Jalen. Get up on him a little more. You'll be able to bat that one down.
Carr later joked that his talking prompted the brawl after Carr and Ramsey hugged. See, there's the Derek Carr ending right there.
There it is. Derek Carr ends in a hug. Special teams ends in a brawl. This, ladies and gentlemen, the NFL during preseason scrimmages.
Max Crosby was in the middle of the final fight. Oof. A day earlier, he laughed when asked about the chippiness of the practice. Quote, "It's all fun. This way you can get your punches out in the preseason, get away with a little bit extra. Tempers get flaring. It is what it is. It's the first day going against somebody else. Things like that happen. It's football, man. This happens every year."
Yes.
It's still fun to talk about. Of course. But it's football. Titans-Bucks. Same thing. Titans-Bucks had a little bit of chippiness going on in their practice. And what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
Well, you can either do one of two things. You could either just cancel these, you know, midweek scrimmages between teams, or you just understand this is how they end. And I think everyone knows it. And Gruden can go out there and grandstand kind of the way he did it. I'm not here for it. It's like, shut up.
Titans cornerback Chris Jackson was covering Antonio Brown in one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. Brown complained he was being held. Brown confronted Jackson, ripping his helmet off and throwing punches before Clayton Gathers attempted to break it up. Bucks training camp intern Lewis Murphy, good reporting there, pulled Brown off of Jackson. Brown briefly left the practice to cool down before returning. Also, Fred Brown of the Titans and Bucks cornerback Herb Miller got into it. And then in another special teams play, shockingly, inside linebacker for the Bucks KJ Britt and Titans linebacker Nick Zubnar needed to be separated.
Going back to the Antonio Brown thing, I know you have the audio up. Do you want to play the Arians comment on that? It's pretty great.
Oh, yes.
Both the guys we brought in are pretty bright, so they're picking it up. And we'll have a very condensed package if they have to play and hopefully not get through the game healthy.
Silly.
Oh, sorry. Here's Bruce Arians on the fight. My bad. Sorry.
I didn't see any fighting. A lot of pushing and shoving. I didn't see any fist thrown.
Even Antonio Brown?
No. Waving flies.
Waving flies. Shout out to Bruce for covering for his guy right there. Like, there's no fighting, no punches. Waving flies.
Well, yeah,
like Steve Ballmer dancing.
Cam Newton was waving flies for touchdown.
Play fake by Newton. Time to throw it to Myers on the crossing route. Turns along the sideline. Inside the five. Inside the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
It was an absolute blowout in Philadelphia for New England. 35-0 was the final. Mac Jones and Cam Newton both looked great. And honestly, Mac Jones, I was watching this live. His best play of the night came on an incomplete pass.
Mac climbs the pocket. Throws the deep ball for Hilly. Oh, he cannot hold on.
What a throw. Nikhil's got to get that.
Oh, and he's down.
Yeah. Nikhil Harry is down. Funny thing, Nikhil Harry has also been wanting to trade. That ain't going to help. Listen, I mean, it wasn't like it was the easiest catch in the world, but it was a catch every NFL receiver should make, and it was a perfectly thrown ball right into the breadbasket dropped. That's a tough decision for Bill Belichick, and honestly, if I'm Belichick, sorry, Cam, I'm going with Mac Jones.
But if you're going with Mac Jones, at that point, the Patriots should give Cam Newton a release because I think, you know, he's showing so far preseason. He can start in the
NFL
still.
Cam Newton is very much still an NFL quarterback, but you got to go with the guy you're hoping brings you.
Yeah, if Mac Jones is ready, then yes, that makes a ton of sense.
This is not a Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo situation.
No. The Patriots aren't expected to win a Super Bowl.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Aaron Rodgers talking about retirement and the coin flip that it is. Devontae Adams got some advice from a pretty good wide receiver that played a lot of his games for the San Francisco 49ers. Take a guess.
J.J. Stokes.
And we'll have more. Soundgarden, top of the hour next.